We have been enjoying one another and enjoying our Lord this morning, and that's wonderful. And I probably have a lot more to say than we have time to share. Let me open with a word of prayer. Lord, we desire that your word would be heard, and what you would want us to hear, that you would have us hear. Give us ears. Lord, give us eyes to see. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring revelation to us, that would revelation to change our lives. In your precious name, amen. Brother Jay and Yvonne briefly shared, I was very touched by the topic at the conference. And as Jay shared, it is the subject was the testimony of Jesus and passing the torch of the testimony. And a lot of what was spoken came out of Revelation, the book of Revelation. And a number of things touched my heart and were explained and said in ways that I had not heard before. Not that I hadn't heard them, but I hadn't heard them with the ears that the Lord gave me to hear them. And so, I would like to try to share some of what the Lord revealed to me, and I'm hoping that I can give you the words to hear, words that you can hear the way I heard. So, I'd like to begin. I'm going to read a large part. We're going to read a large part of chapter 1 of Revelation, and I've asked Barbara to help me. I might ask some others here to read some sections of the scripture. I want to start with this is Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to begin and read verses 1, 2, and 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants the things which must shortly take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. These words, the book of Revelation is a book that I have for years purposely avoided because it was so filled with things that I didn't understand and I didn't feel a need to understand. And so for whatever reason, more recently the Lord has been opening this up, has been opening up to this gathering, to our assembly. Brother Jeff spoke for a number of weeks on Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Revelation is a book of Revelation. It says so, and it is so. And the Lord was revealing through the Apostle John things about himself. And he was doing it on purpose. This was something that he had he had planned. He had purposed. It's part of what he desired for us to know. And he gave it to John to reveal it to us, to write it down. And so that's what's here in these first three verses. John is declaring what has happened. That there was God the Father gave the Son a revelation to give to John to write to the churches. And he says very clearly, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. As Charles mentioned, one of the things that was very clear at the conference is a sense of the nearness of the Lord. Now, I know that has been said for years and years. And there is much about Revelation that you've heard, we've heard about. We've heard for years and years. And I mean, the first century, they believed the Lord was coming any day. And now, 2,000 years later, the Lord is still tarrying. Tarrying is a human word. He hasn't come yet. But he is revealing himself. And he said this and gave this to John, that those who read and those who hear will be blessed. We need to know these things. These were written down on purpose. All right. Let's go on. Barbara, would you read 4 through 8 for me, please?
John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty.
Amen. Powerful words. Many times we look at that, though, look at these words, and we think, well, let's get through this so we can get on. I want to hear about the churches. I want to hear about what's going on in heaven. You know, that seems to be our focus, is the prophecy. A lot of people want to focus on the prophecy or focus on the churches. What is God telling us about the churches? Is he talking about the church age? Is he speaking to specific churches? Please try to forget all that. Or restrain your thoughts about those things. These words are, this is what the conference was about, the testimony of Jesus. And our brother Stephen points out that the testimony of Jesus is that Jesus was and is to come, the Almighty. That's the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony is within us. The Lord is looking to see what see himself inside of us. He wants to see us personally, individually. He wants to see that which speaks of him, which reveals him that's in us. He is desiring that to come forth. He wants us to be changed, transformed. Throughout the scripture, it's there. The Lord is speaking of it. Think of Romans 12. That ye be ye transformed. That's what he's talking about. He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants to see what pleases him is seeing himself in us. All right, let's continue. I'll read verse starting in verse 9. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in a book what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands was one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his breast with a golden girdle." I'm going to pause there because he goes into a description of what he saw. But the immediate thing that John saw and the thing that John was about, what the Lord is about here, is he is speaking to these churches. He makes it very clear. And, you know, we kind of blitz over that because we want to get on to the prophecy. We want to get on to the understanding of what the churches are talking about. But he is speaking to these churches. He is speaking to these churches that existed that day that he was there. When that revelation occurred, these churches existed. John was praying for these churches. He was the apostle that these churches looked up to. He was the only one left, as far as we know, of the original apostles. All had been martyred or died, and I don't want to get into all that, but he was the one that was left. And these churches were on his heart. And the Lord Jesus reveals to him that they are on his heart. And what's really important to understand, to see here, that I hadn't seen before, is the Lord Jesus is standing on the earth. This is a heavenly vision of something that's taking place on earth. The Lord Jesus is among the lampstands that are on the earth. These churches, these lampstands, it says later, are the churches. The lampstand, it is the source of light. It is the oil of God is lighting these churches that are bearing the light on the earth. They existed. These lampstands existed. They are real things, really heavenly things. But this is what Jesus is doing. He is standing there on the earth among his churches, among that which he wants to see. He wants to see himself being revealed in these churches. He wants to see the light. And so it goes on, and I'll continue here. In the middle of the lampstands was one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his breast with a golden girdle. And his head and his hair were white like wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like burnished bronze when it had been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and Hades." I'll pause there. Again, he is saying, I am the first and the last and the living one. I am the beginning, I am the end, and I am everything in between. This is the testimony of Jesus. This is him on the earth, and he wants to see it in us. He wants to see. Now, testimony, there's a place here. In verse 5 that Barbara read, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Witness and testimony can be the same word in the scripture. But there are different things about witness and testimony, and the witness, and this isn't 100%, But basically, there are two different ways that the Lord uses these words. They're the same Greek words. One is, what have you seen? Are you a witness? It's a legal, can be a legal thing, a witness to an event, to say, I saw this truth, and it is true. That is a powerful thing when you're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I have seen him. I know he lives. I can testify. I can tell you that is true. The other aspect of testimony is you know the word testimonial? What's a testimonial? You know, it can be for soap, right? This soap cleans better than any other soap, right? That's a testimonial. It's speaking of the nature of the thing, okay? Now, the Lord Jesus is not like soap. The testimony of Jesus is that which is inside you that comes out. That which is, it is seen because you are it. It is seen because you are alive in Jesus Christ and people can see it. That is the testimony of Jesus that this is talking about. Okay? The Lord wants that to be. He wants that to be built up. He wants to see it. He wants to see it in you and I. And he wants to see it in the church. So is it two different natures? I don't know what the right word is. But there is individual testimony of Jesus. And there is corporate testimony of Jesus. And sometimes we get hung up because we have a picture of what corporate is. But what it means is this lampstand is the corporate testimony of Jesus in the assemblies that were represented there. Do you see? Can you grasp that? In other words, what is the lampstand? The lampstand, I believe it's true. I can't back it up with a whole lot of study. But it's the same type of lampstand that was in the temple. It was a single piece of gold beaten, molded into a lampstand. And I believe what it is that lump of gold that these lampstands are made of is us. Okay? The scripture tells us we are living stones. I think those stones are made of gold. All right, maybe I'm having a flight of fancy here, but those stones are made of gold being built together into a house. Yeah. All right, stones are made into a house. Gold is made into a lampstand. Gold is that which is of God that's within us. It's being built into a lampstand for Jesus, for the light of God, for the purpose of God on the earth to be accomplished. And it's being beaten together. All right. I think it's true. It has been said before, I believe, in our presence here. I think Jeff spoke about it when he was talking about the churches. The Lord reveals himself, who he is, things about his nature in this paragraph that I just read after John saw him in the midst of the lampstands. He describes him, and this description is Jesus revealing himself. Okay? Now, it says he is, again, another time. I mean, this is over and over again. He's saying the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I am alive forevermore. I have the keys to death and Hades. And it continues. Write therefore the things which you have seen and the things which are, the things which are, and these things which shall take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now, I have struggled to understand what the angels are. What are these stars that Jesus is holding in his hand? And I believe it's really very simple. But before I get to that, let me talk. This is, that verse is the basis of the understanding to me that these lampstands are the churches, and it is, the church is the assembly. The word for church here is assembly. And I make that point, and I hope you can go along with me on this and understand this, hear what I'm saying. The assemblies are not the entire church. The assemblies are us, gathered together unto the Lord Jesus. We are gathered together unto the Lord Jesus, trusting one another, knowing one another, gathering on a regular basis with a spirit, the Spirit guiding us, bringing us together, leading us, showing us things about the Lord Jesus. And he is taking that and he is using that to show himself. He's using that. And the Lord is there among the lampstands to make sure that the lampstand, that the light is pure, that the light is coming forth that it, as it's supposed to. He's making sure. He's, I guess, continuing to beat on the lampstand as more gold is added. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And there's a lot that's been said about that. Are they truly angels? I mean, the angels that are being described in Genesis and in other places. Are they special heavenly messengers that are assigned to each assembly? Are they individuals? Are they people? Well, what I believe the Lord is saying here is that word angel means messenger. Okay? Now, the heavenly angels, ministering spirits, certainly are messengers, can be messengers. They are messengers from heaven. I don't believe that's what he's talking about here. What he is talking about here is those who will hear and speak. Okay? Those who have the testimony of Jesus and will speak. And the reason I believe that is because what is he doing here? What is the Lord doing? What's he going on to do in chapter 2 and 3? He is desiring to communicate to the lampstand, to the assembly. He wants to purify. He wants to clarify. He wants to take away that which shouldn't be there and to build up that which should be there. And so, if the messenger is a person, hopefully is not a person, but if necessary, it is a person. It hopefully is many people within the assembly that he wants John to speak to. That this letter that he's writing, 2 Ephesians here, he is sending a letter to those who will hear and understand. They would all read it, but some, he is seeking those who will hear this, read this, hear this, understand this, and it will come out of them. the testimony of Jesus that is missing in Ephesus right now, at this time when Jesus was walking among the lampstands in front of John, what was missing was first love. And he wanted that to be seen. He needed that to be seen. It was so important to him. Well, I don't want to get into that. He wanted it to be seen. He needed the message to get through to Ephesus. They were doing great. They were doing lots of things that were marvelous. He was complimenting them on. But they needed to realize that they had drifted away from the heart of God. Their heart had drifted into the stuff that they were doing rather than he who was doing it. They were starting to lose the testimony. They were losing the testimony of Jesus in the assembly. And each one of these churches is the same. He is seeking to share something of himself with those who will listen, those who will hear, those who have his heart, have his purpose in mind, who desire to know and desire that the lampstand would shine bright, that they would share it, that they would be the testimony, and that the others would come alongside and say, yes, that's right. That's right. We need to know that. We made a mistake. Lord, forgive us. Help us to go on. The Lord is speaking to us. I believe that it's really important that we recognize that this is taking place on the earth. Because in chapter 4, he goes on to say, and after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice, the voice of Jesus, which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking to me, said, come up here. So it moves from the earth to heaven for the rest of the book, okay, the rest of the revelation. This is taking place on the earth. I believe that the Lord has given this to us because he wants us to know he is here among us now. On the earth, he is building up the lampstand. He is making sure that the oil is flowing. He is making sure that the light is coming forth. And he wants us to see him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to flow out. I believe that the prophecy that was spoken years and years ago over this fellowship about the water flowing out of here, that's this. He wants that to happen because the testimony of Jesus is flowing out from us. It's within us. It's being built up. It's got the power of the Spirit behind it, and it's flowing out of here. And he wants it to flow deeper and higher and higher and higher, more and more and more. That's what he's about. And he's about it in all the assemblies. Okay, it's not just us. It's these are seven that he chose to use. These are seven that had need. These are seven that he chose to write to specifically through the Apostle John. But the others he is speaking to. He is speaking to all of us. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't want to upset anybody, but I'm willing to. This event happened to us 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whenever it was that our brother Stephen came here. Not the most recent time, but the time before that. He came, and Brother Stephen shared with the brothers down in Richmond, and it came back to us, that he saw that we were strong individually and weak corporately. The testimony of Jesus was lacking in us, and the Lord revealed it to Brother Stephen, and Brother Stephen spoke it. And we didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. But it was true. And, you know, Brother Stephen, and just as the Apostle John, he was not speaking to individuals. He was speaking to the assembly. He didn't say, you know, Lex, Charles, Harry, Jeff, you know, this is a problem. No, he was the Lord was speaking to all of us. And we struggled with that. And yet what has happened? The Lord has recovered things here among us. Amen. He has recovered much. We are stronger corporately than we were then.
Amen.
And his, you know, Brother Lou was able to come to us and tell us the drought was over. That was prophecy. That was the Lord Jesus speaking the testimony of Jesus to us.
Yes.
Through a brother. He'll speak it through the Spirit, within us. He's leading us by prophecies. He's leading us by teaching. He's leading us by revelation of the Spirit that he gives to us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Listen. Mm-hmm. See what the Lord is saying. Consider these things, please. Lord, we do thank you. We thank you and we praise you for what you are doing, how you are revealing yourself to us in many ways, so many ways, through your word, through the testimony of others. Lord, through by your Spirit speaking to us, by prophecies, by revelations, we thank you. You are among us. Lord, make your way clear. That you can come and, Lord, bring about your kingdom on the earth. We look forward to it, Lord. We look forward to your coming. We desire to see you coming in the clouds. We desire to see you preparing, taking us home to be with you. Lord, all of these many things that we look forward to, we need to be prepared. We need to be a prepared people. We need to be virgins with the oil in the pitcher and the lamp lit. Help us, dear Lord. We praise you and we thank you. In your precious name. Amen.